It's International Comedy Festival season, and one of the acts touring is homegrown comic Jadwiga Grim, and Jadwiga's show is called Cardigan Farge, which, if I hadn't been told how to say it, I would have got horribly wrong. But luckily, my producer said it's not faggot, it's Farge. But Jadwiga's here to tell us about it. Kia ora, Jadwiga. Welcome to Nights.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's nice to have you on. Now, you the blurb on this says you're going to be looking at your own life in terms of, an examination of life on the margins of mental health and gender and sexuality. And I noticed that you made your debut as a stand-up comic not long after you got out of a psychiatric hospital.
I did, yeah. It was in 2018. I was discharged from the Wellington Psychiatric Hospital a day or two before I first got on stage.
So how much of your prep work was done in a psych ward?
Yeah. pretty much all of it. I was, in the hospital and just feeling in such a strange, surreal, liminal space, and ideas just sort of came to me, and I decided, what do I have to lose? I've already hit rock bottom. I might as well see what else I can do.
Was that where you got the idea?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was something that I'd always wanted to try. And when you're in a place that's so, it feels so bleak and so desolate, I guess, one positive thing that people said to me is the only other way is up, you know?
Why were you in a psychiatric hospital?
I struggle from a struggle with depression and anxiety. I've always struggled with that. I made it's a bit bleak, but I made an attempt on my life, and I ended up in the psychiatric hospital as a place that was somewhere safe where I could be minded, and that's pretty much it.
How much of that depression is also due to you becoming more comfortable with who you are in terms of your gender and your sexuality?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's definitely interwoven. I think there's part of it. But I think what is more so is the sadness from the oppression and injustices that you face when you live on the margins of sexuality and gender. When you're like a trans woman like me, you face a lot of different kinds of adversity, and it can get quite scary. And so that, I think, is a very triggering or upsetting thing, more than trying to figure out who I am. I've always known that I was this way since some of my earliest memories, but coming out, nothing quite prepares you for what it's going to be like.
When did you come out, and who did you come out to first?
Oh, good question. I came out about 8 years ago, and I came out to very close friends and family, first of all. And then I came out very formally a few months later and, went full-time, as they say, in the trans community. I went full-time presenting as myself.
What's it like when you're not full-time presenting as yourself?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty bleak, it's pretty dark. You feel very dishonest, I think. You're living that kind of a lie, and, pretending to be something you're not can really get you down and have very negative impacts on your mental health.
What would you be at home and you would wander around? Because I'm a man, really know what it's like to be a woman or to express as a woman, really. I guess that's one of the things about being in the majority culture, is that you don't have to think about these things so much. You just wander along not thinking about these things at all sometimes.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm kind of a bit of a scruffy tomboy, so I have, I still have a sort of, you might even call it a kind of masculine wardrobe and things like that. I like my jeans, my, t-shirts and that sort of thing. I didn't come out and turned into this high feminine, you know, Galadriel type creature.
Right. You don't suddenly wear a lot of lippy and high heels.
It's not you. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm a little more of a, I say a scruffy vagabond queer is my preferred terminology for someone like me.
But it is then out in the... Now, did you grow up in Otatahi?
I grew up in Dunedin and Wanaka. I'm an Otago girl. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So out there in public, how often are you hearing people dissing those who are trans, those who are queer? And what did you do then?
It happens an unfortunate amount of the time. You get, you know, different kinds of harassment and negative reactions on the street. I'm quite big, quite, you know, very, very tall. So I think I get picked on a little less than people who are smaller than me because, you know, people don't necessarily want to get into a fight with a 6'6" giant mountain troll.
Every now and then, of course, some idiot decides I want to prove that I'm a tough bloke. It's normally a bloke. I'm sorry to generalize here, but I think it's normally a bloke. And say, I'm tough, I'm going to pick on the 6'6" one.
Yeah. That does happen sometimes.
I've got a friend who's 6'7" who occasionally had that kind of nonsense going on.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. You just, you know, it sucks to say it, but in those kinds of situations, you know, you just really do have to keep your head down and keep walking and try to find somewhere safe and, you know, just avoid it. I don't go looking for that sort of confrontation. It gets quite scary, very threatening when it happens.
How'd your first show go?
The first, like, stand-up comedy show.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. It was so much fun. I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know if I was, you know, if my humor was going to translate well to a random audience or not, but it was a joy. It was such a thrill. I had a really good time. I just talked about all sorts of different things and they enjoyed it. It was in a competition actually. And I managed to get into the regional finals for RawQuest that year.
Did you base it on what happened to you in a psych ward or not at all?
A little bit. I did mention it. I think I mostly focused on, actually, the harassment that I would face just for living my life and, you know, just going about day-to-day life as who I am. I joked about that, and I tried to joke about it in a way that didn't make myself any more of a victim, but maybe laughed at the absurdity of it, you know?
It's changing now, Jadwiga, but stand-up comedy was a very, very, very blokey thing for a long time, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think that's one of the things that made me hesitant to enter it for so many years is that, you know, people like me have so often been the butt of the joke, and I didn't know if that was going to be the case, if there would be a place for me. And I'm really thrilled to say that there is a place for people like me in stand-up comedy.
And there was a little bit of a window in there for trans people because sometimes drag queens, outrageous drag queens,
could,
but that doesn't sound like that is you. You're not that kind of a girl.
No, definitely not. I think people, you know, often conflate drag queens with trans people, and so don't necessarily know what to expect when someone in your family or your close friends comes out as being trans. People think, oh, are you going to be like, you know, RuPaul walking down the street? But, you know, and so when I, you know, came along with a suitcase full of flannel shirts, people didn't really, you know, it was a bit of a curveball.
Do you think that stand-up comedy needs a bit of a shake-up? Is that one of the reasons you're doing it?
Yeah, I think it does. I think, you know, I want other gender diverse people to feel welcome in this medium, because I know that, you know, I can sort of stick up for myself and I feel confident doing that, but I know that there are other people who find it very daunting to, you know, go along to a stand-up comedy night because they don't want to be made fun of or picked on by a comedian. So I do think that there needs to be some changes, but that being said, it is I think better than I was worried that it would be.
Do you get heckled much?
Yeah, I do. But I also get some positive heckles that kind of throw me and I don't know what to do.
Really? You know, the positive ones throw you?
Yeah, yeah.
When somebody shouts out, I love you!
I get, like, if I talk about, you know, my sexuality or something, I get people who yell out, woo, lesbian, you know? And it's like, oh, okay, fantastic. You enjoyed that. That's great, you know?
Where's your tour going? Are you part of the whole international festival? Because it goes to, what, four or five cities now?
At the moment, unfortunately, it only is in Auckland and Wellington, so I'm doing both cities. We would love it to go to Ototahi Christchurch eventually, but at the moment it's Auckland and Wellington, and I'll be performing in both.
Hey, you don't have ginger hair, do you?
I do.
Ah. Yeah, well, that's an... That's another area. I don't know if you use that your hair color and your materials at all.
No, I haven't. I think I steered away from it because, you know, I know that some people, like, I have a friend who says, "Oh, you've restored my faith in ginger comedians." You
was
know,
that Audrey Prone who wrote that?
Yeah, Audrey Porn. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Porn. Good friend. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. I put the transliterated.
Yeah.
My favorite show of 2020. but what will be? I have to ask you this. I'm sorry because it's a bit of an old record. But how do you feel about some who argue that trans women aren't real women? That whole debate that's been boiling away in the last few years.
Yeah, that's a really tough one. I think, you know, whether or not you agree that trans women are real women, I think it's very hard to deny that society certainly treats us as if we are real women. We face the kinds of adversities and discriminations that other women do face. And, you know, the visceral reality of my life is that's who I am. That's how I live and how I get treated by other people just for being myself. I don't have much time for people who don't believe that I am a woman. I know who I am, and I'm very confident in that, and I'm very proud to be who I am. So I just kind of, you know, power through, and, you know, I take a lot of solace in the love and support I have from my friends and family.
Tell me about those feelings as a child that told you. How we respond sometimes as a child tells us, you know, because you don't think about it. You're not rationalizing it. It just happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that first crush I had on the girl, you know. Yeah, I didn't want it. It just happened.
Yeah. So like the first feelings of me knowing that I was trans. Is that what you're interested in?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I just always, I think, more than knowing that I was, like, adamantly a woman as a child, I just knew that I had a difficulty with people saying, oh, if you're a girl, then you must like ballet and princesses, and if you're a boy, then you must like cars and rugby. And I just thought, that seems a bit ridiculous, you know, that we force people so... you know, adamantly into these categories, and that we judge you if you waver one way or the other. That I always took disagreement with, and I, you know, ever since I was, you know, just as far back as I go, I knew that I had a very strong problem with that. And so that, you know, eventually I realized that I had an identity and belonging and a sense of euphoria that I found through expressing myself in a feminine way from, you know, being in touch with my womanhood. That was, you know, a very powerful sense of joy and belonging for me. But that came later. I think at first it was a kind of grumpy disagreement with, you know, gender roles.
What did you do for a living before stand-up comedy?
All sorts of different things. I worked in a contact center for a while, in a phone center for the government, for the Department of Internal Affairs. I did that for about 2 years, and I've also worked as a support worker, providing care and support for adults with intellectual disabilities.
Did it help being in a psychiatric hospital? People tend to make an assumption that it's just a terrible place to be, but was it actually a healing place, which I guess is what it's supposed to be?
It was, yeah. It was helpful for me, and I know that it isn't for some people. I know that some people go there and it's a very difficult place, and it's, you know, it can feel quite scary and very vulnerable. But for me, I think it really gave me time to address my feelings of depression and my feelings of anxiety, and it gave me the power to reach out to people around me and figure out healthy ways of finding support in my community.
For you, in expressing yourself truly as a female, does gender reassignment surgery feature in your future?
Yeah, there's something I joke about. Usually I wouldn't be comfortable talking about it, but I think because I'm you know, finding ways to express that through my show, I feel a little bit better about it. But yeah, it is for me. I know that it's not for everyone, but for me, it's something that I've wanted, you know, as long as I've known that it was a thing.
And other people can be happy being a woman with a penis.
Yeah, everyone can be happy, you know, in all sorts of different ways. And I really encourage that. I think that's, you know, really important to me.
Yadviga, thank you so much for joining us, and hope the show goes really well.
Hey, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for your time. That's Jadwiga Green. Her show, it's part of the International Comedy Festival, is called Cardigan Fage. Cardigan as in the things you wear. Fage is spelled F-A-G-E-T, but said Fage. And there are dates in Wellington and Auckland.